Welcome to Ujiria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ujiria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ujiria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ujiria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. This is Brad Culp. It's December 14th. I have Trevor Wolford in the studio with me, and Sam is on his way. Good morning. Good morning to you, Trevor.
Morning. How are you?
Doing well today. And we have Kevin in Dallas. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing great. You know, a few weeks ago, I promised not to talk about the weather anymore, but today I can't help but talk about the weather because we're having Indian summer here, and I understand you have rain and traffic in Dallas.
Yes, and it's not a downpour, but it's, you know, that mist. And it in Texas, whenever any type of rain falls, everybody turns into they just forget how to drive.
Yeah, it's an event.
Yes. Which it shouldn't be, because it rains enough here that people should be used to it, but I don't get it. It was an interesting commute in this morning.
Well, we're looking at low 70s today with sunshine, and I'm sure you're going to send that rain to us, but for today we're happy.
Yeah, you can't beat that.
And we haven't done trivia for a long time either, but on the weather note, or actually, I guess it's more related to cold temperatures. 100 years ago today, Roald Amundsen was the first person to reach the South Pole. So,
oh, wow.
I have a little party and celebrate that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I know we got an exciting show for our listeners this morning, and we're going to start by tossing it over to you, Kevin. So take it away.
All right. Thank you. I'm joined today in the studio here in Dallas by Johannes Parker. Johannes is a motivational speaker, corporate trainer, and he just recently wrote a book called The Art of Communication, and I asked him to come in and talk with us a little bit. And Johannes, without me going into any further detail, let's have you give us maybe your background, where you're from, where you went to school, and how you came to do what you do now.
Sure. Good morning, Kevin. Yes, background starts off with went to college in Kentucky, the great state of Kentucky. The college I went to is called Union College. It's a small NAIA school, and I studied actually physical education and taught elementary PE and health for a little while before I went into sales. And as I went into sales, I started studying body language and verbal communication. And to help myself do better, I was an office salesman. And and by just the study of body language and really becoming a communication expert, I had some success, and from that success, I left sales and then went into healthcare. Healthcare for a little while as a social service director at a skilled nursing facility, and then I became director of marketing and sales at a skilled nursing facility, and then there for several years, and then I started training healthcare industry in the area of communication, again, body language and verbal communication, the teaching everyone from staff to physicians to family members to residents, how to communicate better.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you're very familiar with the healthcare industry, working both in the social services side and the marketing side. One of the things that we focus on a lot is how to communicate with seniors, and sometimes it's difficult. What have you come across through all your years in the healthcare side of things, the training, and now in your book? What are some things you've learned about communicating in those types of situations?
Sure. You know, it's funny because the past couple of years, I've really been focusing and having a real strong burning desire to educate family members of seniors and also seniors. We've all heard of this horrible stories of seniors who moving to assisted living or independent living on their way to a possibly skilled nursing living situation, and they just get really taken advantage of. And so I've been really fortunate to be able to educate seniors on how to be able to communicate well, because either they don't understand seniors or the seniors don't understand them. And then the second level of that for the past couple of years is educating family members how to communicate better with their own family members who are now seniors. For example, I did a conference where I was talking to a lot of family members who are now either parents, mother, father, uncle, aunt, who are in assisted living, independent living, and they really did not know how to communicate well. They got frustrated because now the parent is now the guardian, or the child is now the guardian, and the parent is the person being taken care of. And there's a frustration there because they're like, hey, mom, you're supposed to take care of me. Dad, you're supposed to take care of me. And so what I've been doing is teaching them that the transition is made a lot smoother when you understand, just like when you're talking to your child or just like when you're communicating with your child, you can't just communicate mom they're just the same. It has to change. So, for example, one of the things I tell people, don't talk to your parents. Talk with them. And talk with them comes in a couple of different ways. One, you know, standing up talking to mom who's down in the wheelchair just frustrates mom. Instead of bending down, lowering yourself lower than them, so either eye level or even possibly below them, so that you say, mom, I still love you, but, you know, what can I do to best help you? So you're now no longer talking to your parent who you're not helping possibly through the transition of leaving their own home, but you're talking with them. And there's now a congruent relationship. Instead of, mom, I got to do this for you, it's, mom, I'm doing this with you.
That's great. Before we came on the air, we were talking a little bit about communicating with people that have Alzheimer's and some of the more cognitive issues. What are some of the things you've come across that help in those difficult situations?
I really started focusing this when I became a social service director at a skilled nursing facility. It was a facility that had a large amount of Alzheimer's patients, or residents, excuse me, and we would run a situation where the resident was starting to get frustrated or combative because the way we were trying to or take care of them in such a way they need to be taken care of, but there was the relationship was not going well. So if they need to be changed or if it's time for them to take a nap, they would get upset. So I found out that the more that we were open with our body language and the softer and slower that we spoke, the better that we were able to have the relationship with patients with Alzheimer's. So, for example, again, another example, my grandmother has Alzheimer's. And so when she's at the last stage now, but when she first started coming to the just forgetting things and forgetting who we were, we walk up, Nana, hi, and she wouldn't know who we were. That would frustrate us. Because this is my grandmother. She's 92 years old. I've been talking to her my whole entire life. And now that I'm trying to talk to my Nana, she doesn't understand what it was. I would get frustrated. So the more frustrated I got, the more closed I was. And the more closed I was, the more frustrated she became. So I realized that as I spoke slower and lowered the tone of my voice, and I held my hands open saying, Nana, I love you. Here I am. She might have not known who I was, but she's more receptive to how we're able to treat each other. And so working in a skilled nursing facility, that's what I taught the certified nursing assistants and the nursing. Instead of just getting frustrated, thinking about what you're trying to do, just relax, speak slower, take your time, and show them your hands, the palm of your hands. I call that the upper hand or the open palm, saying, you know what, I'm just here for you. And so it really created the environment for us to be successful and for not only the residents, but the family members of the residents were able to come and visit their family, and the family wasn't frustrated when they got there because they weren't frustrated with the staff. So it worked out beautifully. So that was the beginning. That was, I guess, the start about 5 years ago, where I started studying and understanding how can I communicate well to those with Alzheimer's. I would take my time, look at them directly in the eye, speak soft and slow, like, how may I help you? What can I do for you? And not being in a rush. And so that body language is portrayed in a couple of different ways. One, again, the open hand, kneeling to eye level to wherever they were. If they were sitting, I would sit with them instead of just looking down. And then if they were playing with something, if they were holding something in their hand, I would, hey, focus on it. Hey, what are you holding? So it's a lot taking my time and just being nice and easy with them. And it made a complete, it created an environment where we were successful.
You touched on the body language side of things. And, you know, I think I heard last week that 70% of communication is nonverbal.
Well, that is exactly right. 70% of communication nonverbal. So it's, you know, actions speak louder than words, 100%. Because if you think about it, if a family member who has now been walking around doing things their whole entire life now is in a situation where maybe they don't hear it as well as they did before, and their vision is still pretty good, they're able to see what's going on and not be able to hear you. So your body language really displays what your mind is saying. And we all go through situations where we might be frustrated where mom is now, or dad is now, or grandma is now not where they were, and they see the frustration that your family member is going, so we display it. So maybe you cross your arms, which automatically the family member says, well, why are they upset? Are they upset with me? And what one thing I noticed is the family member will feel like they're a burden because of the body language that the family member was showing them. So I would say, you know what, don't cross your arms. You know, point your shoulders to the direction you're talking to. Point your hips and your toes to who you're talking to. And let the family member know that you're not in a rush to go. Because what I was seeing was a family would go to visit their loved ones who might be in a nursing home, assisted living, where they in a place where they were or did not a new place of living, and they were their body language is always pointing towards the door, which lets the family members know, hey, I'm ready to go. You know, I've just got off work. Now it's time to go. Well, if you just took the time to point your shoulders and your hips and your toes to your loved one, they understand that, hey, my focus is all about you.
And yeah. That's great. And so on the other side of it, when we are trained and we know how our body language affects our communication, how do you prevent yourself from getting frustrated when whoever you're talking to is not reciprocating the same? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a great question, Kevin. It's that anxiety we all get because everybody desires to be seen, heard, and liked, right? If we all have those desires, it doesn't matter if you're 95 years old or if you're 25 or 35 years old. We all have these desires. So one exercise that I teach all of my clients, and that's the matter if you're, again, if you're a senior or if you're a junior, I tell them, you know what, relax, slow your breathing down. Take your time. Focus on what your body is saying, such as once you slow your breathing down, you're able to relax a lot. So when my Nana first moved to a nursing home and she's beginning stage Alzheimer's, I was frustrated. I wanted her to know that she now was in a better situation. So my breathing was going fast. And as my breathing started going fast, her breathing was going fast. So we both became anxious. So I had to recognize, you know what? Slow down. It's okay. Take your time, Johan. And as I slowed down, she synchronized herself with me. And that's a major issue of body language that people doesn't recognize, that 70% of all of our communication is nonverbal. So that's nonverbal even goes with our breathing. So I tell people, slow down. Slow your breathing down. Breathe in your nose, out your mouth. That's a great exercise. Great tool.
Great. So on the other side, in talking to clients, I find that a lot of the family members get frustrated trying to communicate with the social services when their loved one is either leaving a hospital or a rehab. Coming out of that, you know, working in social services, do you have any tips or communication pieces that might help family members communicate with those social service workers in a way that kind of alleviates some of that frustration?
Sure. You know, one of the major problems I ran into is, as a social service director, the family members constantly were on the go. So either with email or text message or phone call that we were communicating with. The first step I would tell them is always make a face-to-face contact. Know who you're dealing with. The face-to-face contact will allow the people to know, you know what, who's taking care of my parent? So face-to-face contact slows you down. It makes you to go there and say, you know what, what's going on? When you see somebody in the face, you can see their facial expressions, you can see what's going on, but not all the time you can see somebody face-to-face. So a great tool that I did as a social service director was if I was talking to them on the phone or if I was doing anything, clear your desk, clear your schedule, take your time. It's a great tool to, you know what, write, take notes if you need to, or if it's something that you're frustrated with, you can be able to write it down and look at it. A lot of times when family members are dealing with their family loved ones who are in a nursing home, they're really not connected with what's going on. Well, connect with your social service director. And if you have any questions that might not be able to be answered right then and there, be patient with them. Be patient with them. Write them a letter, email them, but be patient with them.
Yeah, and I think you bring up a great point in that if 70% of our communication is nonverbal, then if you're communicating in emails, texts, even phone calls, you're instantly taking 70% of your communication ability off the table. Yeah. So that's great. So let's talk about your book a little bit. What is it?
Well, it's The Art of Communication, and again, I've been studying communication since 2001, and with that studying, there's a lot of information on communication, but I wanted to be able to write a book that allows people to learn how to communicate well and how to understand what people are saying, such as our parents or what a physician is saying, in such a way where it's nice and easy. So it walks the reader through my experience of how communication helped me to have some level of success. So part of it is nonverbal. So it teaches you how to communicate well to mom and dad with open palm, how to have open body language, what to do if the body language is closed. I was at a nursing home just the other day, and I went to play my guitar at the nursing home just to, you know, spend time with the residents. And as I started to sing, and I'm not a great singer, but as I started to sing and play my guitar, the body language went from arms being crossed to arms open. And it teaches you how to open up mom and dad, or how to open up people once they're closed. So it's a step-by-step walk on helping people understand the power and importance of verbal and nonverbal communication.
And when does it come out?
It comes out January the 7th,
okay.
2012.
And where will we be able to find it?
You can find it on my website, okay, at onestepfromgreatness.com, and it'll be on Amazon and all the online opportunities you can have to get online.
All right. If you had one piece of advice that you could share with seniors or their loved ones, what would you tell them?
Yeah, I would tell them that understanding the transition of mom or dad or grandmother or grandpa or uncle or aunt to go to a situation of a living facility or a nursing home or a rehab, that the transition has to be done well by communicating well and patience and love. The thing about communication is when you think less of yourself and more about the other person, you always communicate better because it's not about you. It's all about them.
Yeah. Before we wrap up, I wanted to ask you, what do you find most rewarding about what you do in these trainings and exercises?
The number one rewarding thing I really find is when people understanding what their body language is saying and what their words are coming out of their mouth, it doesn't only affect them, affect people around them. A lot of times we don't mean to, but we say negative things to ourselves, like, oh, today's Monday, so it's going to be an awful day, or you know what, I'm tired, so therefore they're tired. Teaching people the importance of communication changes their whole entire life, and it doesn't matter the age. It does not matter the situation that they're in. Once you learn how to communicate better, you're able to do anything. So that's probably the one reward that I've experienced in the past 10 to 12 years.
Yeah. If our listeners want to get in touch with you, what's some contact information they can have?
They can email me at abetteryou7@gmail.com, or they can, I have a Facebook at abetteryou, I'm on Facebook, or check out my website at onestepfromgreatness.com.
Okay. Johans, I really appreciate you taking the time to come in and chat with us, and we'll send it back to the folks there in Atlanta.
Great. Well, Kevin and Johans, thank you very much for participating this morning. We'll certainly look forward to your book being published. Great information. And I'm sitting here right now with my arms and legs crossed. I'm not sure what that tells you. But I'm going to tell you what it tells you. Actually, unfortunately, we've had a cancellation on our guest this morning. We had Jeff Smith from Senior Citizens Services of Metropolitan Atlanta. He's the executive director, and unfortunately, he had a personal emergency this morning. So we will look forward to seeing Jeff early in the new year. And that's it for today. We want to thank our listeners. And as always, if you want to listen to a rebroadcast of this show, you can go to www.ugeriaradio.com. And we will be back again next week. So in closing, as always, if the youth of this nation are our greatest national resource, it stands to reason that the seniors of this nation are its greatest national treasure. Thank you and God bless.
Ugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.